Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for godly wisdom to get us through this earthly life. We need you, Father. We need you now more than ever. Pray you'd be with us even now as we look into your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, open your Bibles to Proverbs 3, if you will, that same passage we were just looking at. Today, we're going to begin a two-part mini-series, which is entitled God's Guide to Success. Our text today will be Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Now, the question that's probably asked among Christians more than any other is, how can I know God's will for my life? And, you know, that's just another way of saying, how can I be what God wants me to be? What's the biblical plan for living a successful Christian life? Well, it all starts by realizing that the world's idea of success and God's idea of success are two completely different things. And let me tell you this morning, at the risk of sounding more like a motivational speaker than a preacher of the gospel, but I'm going to explain what I say here. Friend, if you're a born-again believer, God has programmed you for success. He has not engineered you for failure. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to live a victorious life in Jesus. Now, here's the tragic thing. There are very few people that even know the will of God for their life, much less do the will of God for their life. See, mankind, oh, he's an intelligent creature, but he's lost his way into darkness. As I was preparing for this message, I started thinking about all the things that, you know, mankind has been able to achieve. We learned how to split the atom and make weapons of all kinds of destruction. We ventured out into space well beyond the limits of what was thought even possible 50, 60 years ago. We've developed the radio, the television, personal computer. We have the internet where information on pretty much any topic ain't nothing but a few mouse clicks or keyboard keys away. You can find things out and nothing flat. But I'm afraid we're becoming roadkill on this super, this highway, information superhighway. We got access to so much information, we don't even know how to process it, let alone what to do with it. We're moving quickly towards a cashless society. You see this all the time. I remember years ago when the debit card first came out, you know, you just use the card, put your four-digit PIN in there. Well, you don't even have to do that most places now. Now you just put the card in the little thing and it reads the chip and takes money right out of your account. We got cars and jet airplanes today that go faster and farther for more and more years, more reliably than ever before. We're living in an incredible age, just as the Bible prophesied in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. In the last days, men will rush to and fro and knowledge will increase. But you know, I think that as we double our knowledge, we sometimes triple our trouble. We seem to be getting deeper and deeper into difficulty. And sometimes it feels like we're looking into the muzzle of a loaded cannon. But if you're a child of God, you don't need to be lost in the darkness. If you're a child of God, the Lord has given you a wonderful promise. And that is a promise of guidance. God will guide you. Look again at Proverbs 3, verse 5. Here's the first part of God's recipe for success, and here's the promise he gives us. We just saw it in our scripture reading. Here it is again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. That's a wonderful promise from the Word of God. And it's a promise that is repeated and reinforced in many other places in the Bible. If you're a person that likes to write things down and look them up later, hey, get your big crayon out and write this down. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you always. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. So look how good we got it. Here's our situation as believers. We have the Almighty God, the Father, who is above us. He's watching over us. He's controlling all things. We have the Lord Jesus Christ walking step and step side by side with us, who's guiding our footsteps. And we have God's Holy Spirit living inside of us, directing our thoughts and our inner life. And we are to be guided. As God's children, we are to be guided by Him. God has a plan for each and every one of you. And it's an individual plan. God deals with people as individuals. Matthew 10:30 says, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. And he don't have to count too high for some of us, but even the very hairs of your head are numbered. This is true for the plumber as well as the preacher. It's true for the secretary as well as the missionary. And on that note, let me tell you this. If you've been called to be a plumber, friend, it would be a step down for you to become a preacher. And if you've been called to be a preacher, it would be a step down for you to become the president. God has an individual plan for every one of us, and it's a special and wonderful plan. And as Christians, it is our duty and our joy to find, follow, and finish the will of God for our lives. That is how you be successful God's way. Now let's go back to our text, Proverbs 3, back to verse 5 again. Let's start examining this in detail. The first point I want to share with you to God's guide to success is that we have to express a full dependence on God. Look at verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Now what exactly is Solomon telling us here? Well, first of all, if we're going to have full dependence on God, that starts by having complete confidence in God. You got to trust the Lord with all your heart. Now notice, it's not a philosophy the Bible's telling us to trust here. It's a person. It's not a formula we're being asked to trust. It's God Himself. Trust the Lord with all your heart. How come we find it so difficult to do that? Why is it so difficult for us to trust the Lord with all of our heart? I'll tell you why. It's hard to trust someone that you don't really know. Let me give you an illustration from everyday life. Let me see what I'm talking about. Today's what, the 16th? In 4 days, my young bride and I will be celebrating our 27th wedding anniversary. Now, if she were to call me into the kitchen on our anniversary and say, I want you to trust me, open your mouth and close your eyes. Well, that requires a lot of trust. But because I know Sheila loves me and she wants the best for me, I know I can trust her. But see, wait a minute, because if I'm just walking down the street and somebody I don't know comes up and they're like, hey, man, I want you to trust me. Open your mouth and close your eyes. I'm going to go, you must be crazy. I'm not going to do that. And, you know, you wouldn't probably do that either. And how come? Because it's hard to trust somebody that you don't know. That's my point. And if you're having difficulty trusting the Lord, it's because you really haven't learned how to know Him and love Him like you should. And I will tell you this, to really know the Lord, to really know Him, is to love Him. And to love Him is to trust Him. And to really trust Him is to obey Him. And friends, to obey Him, That is to be blessed. So if you're having difficulty trusting the Lord, I'm going to suggest you spend some time getting to know him. The Bible says that we're not to trust our own understanding. But see, so many times we want to say, well, this is what I think. And very frankly, when we do that, we're making a terrible mistake because we're leaning on our own understanding. Look at verse 7 real quick. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And yet, that's the problem with many of us. We think we know best. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. Quite simply, you do not have what it takes to guide your own life. Why? Because you don't know all the facts, but God does. And this is why he says, don't lean on your own understanding. Now, look, that doesn't mean that you won't ever have any understanding about anything. If you're following God, you're going to have plenty of understanding because he's going to help you understand. Last week, our scripture reading was from Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to hop back there to chapter 2 for just a minute and read you verses 1 through 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Now listen, here's a different kind of understanding. It's God's understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Here's another illustration for you. What if you knew for sure, if you knew 100% sure right now, somewhere in your backyard, there was $1 million in silver buried? Would you look for it? Oh, yeah. You probably wouldn't even be here at church today. You'd be out there with a shovel, right? Amen. Or calling Lou Theory, telling him to bring a backhoe over. You guys are going to do some digging. The Bible tells us that is the way we are to search for God's wisdom. For God's will, we seek it as we seek a buried treasure. Now, the problem is most of us aren't very serious when it comes to searching for understanding, when it comes to searching for the will of God for our lives. So I told you, it begins by having complete confidence. And friend, if you have complete confidence, that will lead to constant compliance. Look again at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the complete confidence. We're trusting the Lord with all of our heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's the constant compliance part. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Not just some of your ways. See, God won't take just part of it. You can't say, well, God, I want your will in this part of my life, but this part over here, no, that's for me. God doesn't work that way. He doesn't want that. Turn it all over to him. If you can trust him with part of it, you can trust him with all of it. I want to share something with you that a young Christian man who lives in Africa wrote. And I've read these words several times this week, and they just keep getting better. they just keep getting better. Listen to what this young man said, what he wrote down. I'm talking now about constant compliance. He says, I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, My road is narrow, my way is rough, and my companions are few. My guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, and prayed up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till everybody knows, and work until he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no trouble recognizing me, because my banner will have been clear. We need a whole church full of folks like that. We need teachers like that. We need a choir like that. We need a board of deacons and trustees like that. We need a pastor like that. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I'm going to tell you straight, ladies and gentlemen, the reason many of us don't know the will of God for our lives is because we have not followed God's instructions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Until you've done that, don't be complaining about not knowing the will of God. You say, well, Pastor, if I did that, if I just turned everything over to him and just said, Lord, just show me your will. I'll do whatever you want. If I did that, he might send me overseas to be a missionary or something. If God wanted to send you to be a missionary, honestly, that's where you should want to go. Don't ever be afraid of the will of God for your life. I love the verse, 1 John 4:18. It says that perfect love casts out all fear. Now, that doesn't mean that you love God perfectly, because you ain't never done nothing perfectly except sin. It means that God's love for us is perfect, and that's what casts out fear. See, God's will is always the best choice. His will is always the best, and it's what you would choose if you could see the whole picture. That's the reason the Bible asks this very logical question in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Listen to this question from the Apostle Paul. He says, he who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So if God gave us Christ, doesn't it stand to reason he's also going to give us everything else we need? Amen. Here's what Paul's saying. If God sent Jesus, you don't have to worry about anything else. He's going to take care of that too. But somebody still says, well, you know, I'm worried about what God may have me do if I just turn it all over to him. Listen to what Jesus said in John 4:34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. This is where Jesus said his nourishment came from, was carrying out God's will. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So, friend, if you want to follow God's guide to success, first there must be full dependence. And when you do that, here's the second thing that'll happen. You got the first one, full dependence. Here's the second thing. Once you show full dependence, then he will give you faithful direction. So first you got the full dependence, and that results in God giving you faithful direction. Look at it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Now watch this. And he will make your path straight, or as the King James says it, he shall direct thy paths. Now, if you acknowledge him in all your ways and you trust in him, he will direct your path. Now, folks, that's either true or it's not. Amen. Now, how many of you think it's true? Well, some of you. If you trust God with all your heart and you acknowledge him in all your ways, I'm telling you, there is no exception. There is no question about it. He will direct your path. You can take that to the bank. God will lead you. And where he's leading you is into the path of success. You say, well, okay, but how will he direct my path? Over the course of this little 2-week miniseries, I'm going to share with you 4 ways that he's going to direct your path. Right now, we're jumping on number 1. The first way he'll direct your path is he will direct your path through the Word of God. He'll use the Word of God to direct your path. For 25 plus years, the theme verse for all of our youth classes on Wednesday night was Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So, friends, the Word of God will show you the will of God. So many people allegedly want to know the Word of God, but they don't read their Bible. So how's God going to direct my path? Well, one way he's going to do it is through his word. It's like a light and a lamp. Now, we're still on the first point about how God will direct our path. But let me show you quickly three things the Bible says about God's will for us in very specific areas. The first one I want to tell you, you can find in 2 Peter 3:9. This shows us God's will. This is God's will for all of us concerning salvation. Listen to God's will concerning your salvation. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Did you hear that? Yep. This is why I don't buy for one second these pastors who will stand in the pulpit and if they're asked, hey, do you guys send monthly financial support to missionaries? Well, no, we don't do that because we believe that God has chosen some people to be saved and God has chosen some people to be unsaved. What did I just read? God is not willing that any should perish. That's not God's will. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that everyone would repent. The reason people are lost is because they choose to be lost. Now, the second thing the Bible tells us about God's will is that he wants us to be spirit-filled. Ephesians 5, verses 17 and 18 say, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So the will of God is, first of all, salvation, and then secondly, spirit-filled living. Let me ask you, are you filled with the Spirit? If you're not, why not? It's God's will. See, why should you be asking God's will about, oh, who should I marry? Should I take this job over here or stay where I'm at? Should I buy this house? Should I buy this particular kind of car? Why are you asking God all of that when you're not even spirit-filled? And God has already told you that's his will, and you're not even doing that. So God's will is that all would receive salvation. His will is that we would live spirit-filled life. And here's one more thing I can guarantee you about the will of God. He wants you to be sanctified. That means set apart for service to God. That's what it means. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It tells us it's God's will that you should be sanctified. Let me read you the whole verse. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. And yet, how many times we see this? You're married, but there's some other woman, there's some other man who comes into your life. And then you got the audacity to ask this question. Lord, should I divorce my spouse and marry this person? Listen real close. I'm going to give you an answer. No. You got a problem understanding English? Let me put it in Spanish for you. No. You say, well, Pastor, I think I should pray about it. Let me tell you. You don't have to pray about it. That would be an insult in the face of God to pray something like that. The will of God is right here. I just read it to you. Do not commit adultery. Avoid sexual immorality. The will of God is in the Word of God. Now, if you won't do what God says in his Word, don't waste your time crying out to God to lead you and guide you. He's already told you what he wants you to do. Why should he show you anything else when you ain't doing what he already told you to do? Friends, I get in the Word of God and I read black print on white paper. And there are certain things you just don't have to pray about. I want to finish today by telling you a short story about this Spanish fella whose name was Vito Miti. Now, he lived over in Barcelona, Spain, and this guy was working on a PhD in philosophy. He had to write this big, long thesis. So he's over in his library in Barcelona, Spain, and he's going through all of these old books, you know, them big, thick ones that are bound in leather where you got to kind of blow the dust off of them before you open them, because nobody ever reads that stuff. So he's reading through this book by some philosopher that's been dead for years. And as he's reading this book, man, he comes across a paper in the book that was stuck in there. And it was placed there by the author of the book. And here's what it said. My entire estate is bequeathed to whoever reads this book and finds this will. Well, old Vito Miti, he said, man, I'm going to check this out. So he took it to the courts and they examined everything and they said, yeah, man, this is legit. It's valid. And the man received $250,000. Now, here's the thing. Anybody could have found that. It was right there in that book all along. With that in mind, I'm going to end with this question. How many people today fail to find the treasure of God simply because they won't open his book and read it? Think about that this week. When we come back, we're going to pick it up right here, right in Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to finish up this little two-part series on God's Guide to Success. I hope you can make it back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us so much truth in your word. Father, you want to guide us. You want to direct us. But many times we are like stubborn mules. We have a mind of our own and we want to go where we go. Help us to understand that life would be so much sweeter and better if we would simply yield every single area of our lives to you and pray that your will would be revealed to us. Father, I pray that you would guide and direct every person in this church today. Bring them closer to the likeness of your son, Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much, and God bless you all. Before we bow for the benediction, quick reminder, if you have something that you would like prayed for, prayed about, you can come right up here on this platform and share that with Wade, or I'll ask Brother Tom to come up here. Whatever the topic is that you want prayer about, they will pray with you or for you right now. Let's go ahead and bow for the benediction. To him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.